Why didn't Battle Arena Toshinden stick around? Like, why didn't that last for 20 years so we can get, like, a weird free-to-play version that's only in Japan?
Because, I don't know, because, like, its whole thing was, like, it was 3D weapons fighting, and I think it just wasn't good enough. Then Soul Calibur came along, it was just, like...
So Soul Calibur's fault?
Well, Soul Edge and Soul Calibur just much better. Wasn't it also Namco? Who made that game?
I don't even know.
But yeah, just like, it was like, it could only be a slightly big deal because it was, like, the PlayStation launch game. But even then, it was, like, one of the few ones where it was, like... The Saturn had, like, just Virtual Fighter. People liked that more.
So it was Virtual Fighter's fault.
Virtual Fighter, yeah. Well, I mean, it was maybe Ballerina Toshinden's fault. Also, its name was dumb. What is Toshinden? I like to think it's just Japanese for the words Battle Arena. So it's just literally...
Battle Arena.
Exploding Barrel Podcast for January 21st. Oh, is this our dad's birthday?
It is. We have to call him.
We should call him. January 21st, 2016.
Hey.
I can't whistle, but I can snap.
Look at you go.
Right? I'm a good snapper. Fuck you. I can't whistle at all, so like I overcompensate with my... That's a triple. Shit! I can go all day, son. What is that? You're not actually doing
this. That's the jump.
Nothing's happening there.
Ah! No! My shins.
That was a very important intro. All right. Yes. What are we? Okay. Yeah. Exploding Barrel. We have a show today, so we're gonna do kind of going off of last week. After we talked today, last week we were talking about like. Some of the new things coming to the park. We finally heard like what attractions are closing at Hollywood Studios in the immediate future. So we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna do kind of just like a general Hollywood / MGM Studios show. Kind of talk about some of our memories of the park and attractions we love. Attractions because you know it's like you know. I know Hollywood Studios needs the update that it's getting, but I feel like some people are almost like kind of piling onto it a little unnecessarily. I mean, I remember in the 90s, that was, like, the go-to park.
It's still my favorite park.
Yeah, so I kind of want to defend the park a little bit. Obviously, yeah, it needs a lot of changes, and it's getting them. I'm glad they're coming, but yeah, I want to kind of just talk about it a little bit. Then we have our special zone, yeah. Was that what it's called?
Yeah.
I can't remember sometimes. But, also, yeah, I'm in a big Disney mood, too, anyways, because I'm going to France, Saturday, and I'm going for a work trip, but I'm also going to Paris, and I'm going to go to Disneyland Paris, and I'm really excited about that.
I'm super jealous.
And it's weird because their second park is a studios park, which is bizarre.
Well, I'm sure in the mid 90s it made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. But when did that actually open? There,
not I don't know. Later, not, right? Yeah, it opened. Seemed to be like it opened late. Well, again, I think it opened at night, like when I was talking about when like MGM Studios was like really big. And, you know, the two most popular rides in, like, the whole property were Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. And they have those in this park. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was just kind of, like, the template for it. So let's talk about what's closing. You know what the one that sticks out to me the most? Because it was always the joke for me. Because this thing has hung in there. Like, unlike any other attraction, I think, in the history of, like, Disney World. And that is the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience playset. Or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Movie set adventure.
I mean, I can remember going to this thing as a kid. And, like, even back... I remember when I was a kid, like, man, these movies are kind of old. I was, like, 10.
I mean, I think the reason it stuck around is because, like, it was kind of like... Like, almost in, like, an alley between, like, it buildings from New York Street and, like...
The catering company.
Yeah, so it's,
it
like...
It was a weird location. It was, like, cramped in there.
If you were going to get rid of it, what were you going to do?
There's nothing you could do except for, like, a slight retheme. Like, their only chance was, like, when Bug's Life happened. Like, just, like, yeah, it's, like, Bug's Life theme. You're, like, the Bugs.
But I really want to go over there today and see the kids rolling down the giant thing of Kodak film. Do they even know what that is?
What is film, man?
Who's Kodak?
But man, yeah, it is just like this weird. See, that's kind of my thing about the parks in general to me is, and I know sometimes it's kind of dated, but like when I think about Epcot, I think about the 80s. And I love that sort of, like, 80s futurist aesthetic. Mm-hmm. All those sharp edges. A lot of, like, whites.
Concrete.
A lot of, like, whites. And then, like, very, like...
pastel colors.
Yeah, not even pastel, but just, like, they're very, like, solid colors. Yeah. But always in lines. There's lines of everything. But then I think of Inter Shoes. It's, like, so 90s to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know... jean shorts and stuff like that. I think of jean shorts. That's what I think of. When I think of MGM Studios, I just think of, like, families walking around in jean shorts. Tell me I'm wrong.
No. That's amazing.
Right? That should be the new park icon. They should just build a giant
pair of jean shorts.
Jean shorts.
And a fanny pack.
Oh, I rocked the fanny pack.
We all did.
Oh, I did. Oh, my gosh. But yeah, so that's I kind of like that 90s and stuff. And that's why I kind of like Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. But even though I think that movie might have come out... when did that come out? It was even late 80s, or it was probably early 90s.
Something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so 90s to me, that whole movie and that whole area. I mean, that whole area at one point, because it had... like that used to... it was right around there, too, where they had the Meet the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing.
Yeah, which... wasn't that one of the Backstreet Boys?
Yeah, one of them was doing that at one
1989,
point.
By the way.
Okay, yeah, I thought. But, you know, it's still close, and that's practically 90s. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know, that whole, like, that's, like, such a 90s vibe thing. But, yeah, it's weird, like, that's finally going.
Mm-hmm. So that's going, New York Street's going, all the streets of America.
Yeah, that's, that was always very well done, but it had very little actual point to it. You know, it's not like Main Street, where you have, like, a period piece street, and then there's all these shops.
Yeah, you can't go in anything right there.
Well, it was originally just, like...
part of the tour.
Right, it was basically just like, this is what it looks like when we make fake streets for movies.
Wow!
Okay. And, yeah, and then, like, they had that backdrop. And when they did this, I don't even know why they, like, changed it to, like, the streets of America.
Because they added, like, a San Francisco scene and...
yeah, but, like, why? Like, what...
I think they're looking for something cheap to do over there, to, like, do something.
I don't, yeah. It was, yeah. But, yeah, yeah.
I will be sad to lose that Singing in the Rain umbrella.
Yeah.
That's a good picture spot.
Sure. Yeah, in general, like, yeah, that whole kind of area there by, like, the back of tour, what the giant Coke bottles are going to be safe.
Oh, probably not.
No, probably not.
Well, yeah. That means, you know, the studio catering company, too, which is right in there. That's going away.
Yeah,
which, I don't think I've ever enjoyed a meal there.
You know, it's weird, too, because that's, like, something that I was sad to hear, but, yeah, I never eat there. But I was just, I don't...
You always walk through it.
You know what? That's what I liked about it. I liked that it doubled as a restaurant in, like, a shortcut.
Yeah. Well, also that gift shop with all the Roger Rabbit stuff hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
That's where the ton of bricks is.
Isn't that... didn't they turn out a Watto's Grotto recently?
Something like that, yeah. Or no, I think Watto's Grotto's in the old AFI shop.
That makes sense. But yeah, so yeah. That's
going away too.
But yeah, that whole section there used to be, like, very, very Roger Rabbit.
The whole park was very...
right.
When it first opened, there was a lot of Roger Rabbit and Rocketeer.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, but yeah, that AFI building with the Watto's Grotto, so that whole thing. And that's, like, the last remnant of the back lot.
Yeah. And then the final thing closing is Lights, Motors, Action.
Which
I like the show when the show's happening. All the interstitials.
The show is very impressive, and I guess one of the reasons is, like, it's so impressive. I mean, it's very expensive to put on. Mm-hmm. It's funny how, like, even though, like, I can recognize the stunts are more spectacular in that than in Indiana Jones, I'd rather watch Indiana Jones.
Oh, you have context.
Yeah, I guess. But it's just more fun. But yeah, it's a show I've seen a few times. That's fine. I'm going to see the French version, I guess.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm not too sad. And that takes up so much space.
It does.
That could be, like, I think that's going to be a large part of, like, the Pixar expansion, is that area.
That'll be, like, where the cars ride probably ends up.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, I think we talked about it last week. But, so, talking about Backlot, it's funny how that was, like, one of the big premier attractions at Backlot.
Well, because that was the thing Universal had in Hollywood. Michael Eisner wanted that in Florida.
It's funny, too, how, like, you have, like, the Backlot tram, but there's nothing really to tour. It's like a fake real tour.
Well, go back in time. So yeah,
there was stuff.
You know, you went through the production offices, which were much more active in actually making movie stuff back then. They, for a while, made stuff for the theme parks, and that all is getting moved.
Right, I mean, there weren't too many. I mean, there was, like, Ernest Saves Christmas.
You went down the residential street, and this is when these shows were still in the air. Golden Girls and Empty Nest.
Yeah, but, like, it's like they would Alice say, like, this is like, when they say they filmed it there, they would literally, like, do the one exterior shot.
Well, sure, but you saw it and you said, oh, that's the Golden Girls house. Right. There it is.
It makes sense.
You know, that was cool. And yeah, I still like Catastrophe Canyon a lot. I do miss that.
I like Catastrophe Canyon. That would always... I would actually...
There's something about large walls of water rushing at you.
Especially these days where, like, a lot of the effects in these kind of shows aren't practical. Yeah. It's more like a 3D projection, you know, like a hologram. It was really cool, like, literally have giant pillars of fire and, like, waterfalls. It was impressive. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even just, like, back in the day, going through, like, the costume department and, like, the prop building department, like, when those were all actually active, mm-hmm. I remember you would go through and they'd be like, and there's sets for the From the Earth to the Moon series.
Yeah.
It's like, they're actually doing stuff. And it was like, it was pretty neat. But see, I don't remember when it was, like, the really long tour. Because it used to be, like, a two-hour tour. And
you got off at the Streets of America, New York Street, right?
Well, I think the... it used to not even start where it did for a long time. I think it started, like, I forget where, I think maybe where the AFI building is or something. But it didn't start where, like, that used to be, like, a halfway point. Like, you would get off there and go through that prop warehouse and look at stuff for a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But to me,
I wonder where all those props are going.
Yeah, but I did like that experience. The first year I had, like, that...
The special effects water tank.
Right, which we got to be in a few times. So yeah. Towards the end, it was kind of Pearl Harbor themed, but when we did it, it was a bit more like old timey kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know what you say. But it was super fun. And I liked being like in that their fake little like cat like boat thing.
I never got to do like the one where you got the water dumped on you.
Oh,
I was always on the deck.
So much water. Just, like, but yeah, we'd be the deck too. It was always fun. And I always liked. I do liked that they had a lot of those experiences where they would pick like one or two people off from the crowd.
The best was the first time you ever did it. Because he had to be, like, 16 to do it. And we asked the guy if we could do it. Because if you just ask, you could get in. Or you just have to know. And the guy looks at you and goes, "How old are you?" You're like, "15. How old are you?" "15. How old are you?" "15. Like, say 16. How old are you?" "16.
I'm not a good liar.
All right, come on back.
But yeah, just... And I don't want to, like, jump from... I was about to jump from this. But, like, just so, like, that prop studio had a lot of, like... It's like, again, super 90s. Like, something from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Dinosaurs.
I loved dinosaurs. They would always... Like, dinosaur would be in the park.
The statue of Winifred from Hocus Pocus.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's very... Yeah. And, like, it never was updated.
Oh, no. They put those props in there one day in like, 96.
The only thing that would update there, you would walk through, like, a row of posters. Different advertising.
Some guy's like, "Hey, Frank, go change the posters in the prop room."
Yeah, but it'll be fun. You go by the Earful Tower, you walk by, you go through, like, all the graveyard, just, like, barges from Return of the Jedi.
That was right. There's some snow speeder.
Yeah, they have, like, actual things from Star Wars there. That was cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Earful Tower's going.
Yeah.
Now, did you hear the rumor?
Yeah, this is interesting.
So... Disney Springs, all the pictures of it always showed a water tower. Mm-hmm. So they're saying that they may just be moving the Earful Tower to be the Disney Springs water
tower. I think that's
nice. I'm going to go keep the ears.
I do predict... So I'm confused. If you go buy, like, merchandise for Hollywood Studios right now, is it literally the, like...
Chinese Theater?
Is it?
What else could it be right now?
I mean, it could be the Earful Tower for now. I mean, that's what it was when in the 90s, I remember.
Yeah.
Everything, like, all the merchandise was the castle, the Spaceship Earth, and the Earful Tower. So it's very kind of bizarre to me how, like, it's just, like, not very defined what that is right now. I used to like all those experiences where one or two people would be picked and could go do something kind of a bit more special. Everyone else would still watch. And you still have, like, the only thing I can think of that still really does that is Indiana Jones. But, I mean, you used to have Superstar Television,
yeah,
and Monster Sound Studio,
yeah,
later one Saturday mornings. But Superstar Television, that was... But that was, like, a whole big deal with the park. It was like, there was, like, this mystique to how, like, these things were made.
Well, it was in an age when everyone didn't have a 4K camera in their pocket.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it was, like, a
green
whole thing.
Screen was still magic, even when you saw it being done.
We're compositing images.
In real time. You're on the David Letterman set. Holy shit.
One of the big things I miss in Wilmot's is the animation studio there. Because, like, more so than anything else, that was, like, them actually creating movies. So they had a whole animation studio, and you can tour it. And there was this great film they would play before it with Robin Williams and Walter Cronkite.
Oh, yeah, I found that online.
That's a great movie. They worked on Roger Rabbit shorts there. They helped with some, like, you know, the movies from the early 90s. But then they completely they did, like, most of the work there for Lilo and Stitch. Mulan, Lilo and Stitch, and Brother Bear, which are three great movies, especially Lilo and Stitch. It's, like, one of the best. And that was, like, made in that freaking studio. That's really cool. That was very sad when they closed that. And they closed that, like, the same time when they, like, just got out of, like,
2D.
2D animation. And there really wasn't much to it. So it's like, and they kept it open for a while as, like, just, like, a showcase of Disney animation. It was, like, still kind of fun.
Oh, that Wreck-It Ralph meet and greet was the best.
They did that. They did that.
That was the best. Because the line was just, like, actually a good mix of video game soundtracks.
Right. Like, and, well, it was cool. And it was like you were in a train station, like, oh, Uncharted for, or like, departing for Uncharted 2 soon.
Yeah, Game Central Station.
Yeah, it was actually really well done for just, like, a simple, like, meet and greet thing. I wonder, that Star Wars launch bay does sound neat there, like, for what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's, like, that's probably, that might be the thing I miss the most. Yeah, I think so. It's like the animation studio back in its heyday. Do you have something you miss more than that?
Probably not.
Right.
That was cool because you could actually see animators animating. Right. That was rad.
Like, I missed the backlot tour and stuff like that. But that was really cool. I mean, I miss the original Star Tours. But you know, I think what we got was good.
Yes, I'm not too upset about the adventure continues. Or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Kind of like what other things there are just completely gone. It's so funny how, like, Sunset Boulevard wasn't there on opening day.
Yeah, it's such like a, but like at the same time, it is like this weird little offshoot that doesn't connect to anything.
How about you remember Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Play It?
I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Play It.
It was a very
I choked.
It was a very interactive park for a while, and that was kind of a lot of fun with it. And they always, the other part of the park, which I wasn't a big fan of, there's a lot of stage shows. Like the Beauty and the Beast stage show.
I will say that Beauty and the Beast one is not very good.
It's been there forever. Little Mermaid's been there forever. Like it used to be like they would be there for a little bit. Like,
the Little Mermaid show is like, look at these lasers!
Yeah, God.
Again, 90s.
Yes, 90s. But yeah. Well, it's so funny how, like, when they started putting attractions back in that area that used to just be the sound stages, like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and then eventually that whole thing kind of became a
Toy Story Midway Mania,
stuff like that, yeah. Do you remember some Sorcery in the Sky fireworks?
Vaguely. I remember that giant inflatable Mickey.
Right, they're very proud of their inflatable Mickey.
That was cool.
Yeah, but then it was kind of funny how, like, that almost telegraphed because it was Sorcerer Mickey, and that's what you get with Fantasmic, obviously. It's like, Sorcerer Mickey has somehow always been associated with that park.
I think because of that.
With the inflatable Mickey?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, like, it was that, and then, like, Fantasmic just happened to go there, too, and that's also Sorcerer Mickey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is funny how, like, I guess that's why the hat almost made sense, because, again, like, Sorcerer Mickey does make sense there. I think the hat could have worked if it just didn't look so cheap.
Well, what does the hat have to necessarily do with Hollywood?
Right. That's kind of, well, yeah, there was no, like, real point to it.
Yeah,
it wasn't a great symbolic gesture like Spaceship Earth is. It wasn't like, you know, like the castle or Tree of Life. It was just like, ramp, pop it down, so on and so forth. But yeah, so yeah, there's just a kind of like this feel too. And you know what, this was always the place too where there would be like the most amount of kind of like short-lived things to promote the movies. Like you would have the Aladdin restaurant.
Oh yeah.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame stage show. It was always kind of, there was always something different there. Maybe it wasn't like a, you know, big ride.
It was like weird things too. Like you talked about there was the Turtles for a while. They had the Power Rangers. Ace Ventura. We met Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura did a little show in Hollywood Studios. It was very weird. But yeah, like,
he climbed the building and got Chicago, the Great White Bat.
There was like a Goosebumps attraction for a bit there.
What was that?
It was like a maze.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, there's always very weird things going on.
Weird licensing deals they worked out.
Yeah, because this was like, again, nice. They didn't really have like a lot. Like their animation department was real picking up, but other than that, not so much.
Yeah.
For the movies. So yeah, it was this kind of, it was always been kind of a weird park, and it's gonna be. And I always kind of like this weirdness, and it's gonna be interesting to see like what parts of it kind of remain. Now, oh, and more is remaining than I would have thought, because Echo Lake's going to still be there.
Echo Lake, Muppets are safe.
Which is great.
Pizza Planet is closing for a lengthy refurbishment.
I wonder if they're going to, like, they need to kind of plus that up a bit.
I think the people think that they may be de-pizza planeting it.
I think.
So that
it's just like a pizza place.
So that Pizza Planet itself could open in Toy Story Land.
That makes sense. Just make it some sort of other quick service restaurant. I
mean, yeah, with an arcade.
Yeah, you could put anything in there. Gosh, even arcades anymore.
We could do a podcast about Disney arcades in the 90s.
Yeah, right.
We really could.
Oh, the Grand Fiesta.
Fun Center, so yeah. Good, contemporary, but real Chase.
I always liked that Muppets area with that in that restaurant, even before it was Pizza Planet, just because it was funny, because when they, yeah, the Muppets being, Muppets is, like, one of my favorite things there, and it was funny when, like, I remember I was too old for this, I was, like, really excited they were saving it, and people were like, oh, I need to update that. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that can stay.
You don't touch that.
That can stay.
Yeah, that show, to me.
we complain about these weird people online who get upset every time Disney, like trims a bush, but no, that's got to stay. No,
I love that. I mean, that's a, I mean, There's a bit of a historical value because, you know, it was like Last Day Jim Henson in, but to me, that show is so good.
It's so perfect.
It's so funny.
It's so perfect.
The only thing about that really is dated is like the very end when, like, you know, like, you can see outside to the park and there's a tourist, and again, everybody's wearing jean shorts.
Those Mickey balloons that we had in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then Sweetums is in the film, but he's also in the theater, and they kind of screwed that up.
Yeah, but I love that. That's one of the few things where if I heard they were closing it, I would like probably try to go down to see it one more time.
I would hope they do, like, we'll put it on 3D Blu-ray or something
at some point. At least, they do have to get rid of it. I mean, I don't see why not, but it won't be the same because so much of that show was like being in that theater. That's
when you get the app on two iPads.
Oh my god,
the TV with that, and then you got to get another one behind you for the chef.
Yeah.
And then you get a bunch of animatronic penguins. I'm losing it here.
Yeah, I think that's why. Like, that was like the best show about like making like even the theater kind of like a part of the show.
Yeah, because it looked exactly like the Muppet show.
Like, Muppets are great for animatronics because it just looks perfect. Like,
yeah, it looks like a Muppet.
Yeah, there's no like, oh, it looks kind of like it. No, it's a Muppet. There's just a robot instead of a hand. But yeah, I freaking love that show. So anything else you want to say about the studios?
No, I'm good.
You good?
I like that park a lot.
I do.
I like its theme. When you walk in, like that kind of classic Hollywood styling. Tower of Terror is my favorite ride in Disney World.
Yeah. We'll never go on that.
Rock and Roller Coaster is amazing.
But, it is kind of, yeah, that whole thrill ride thing is a little, it's interesting. That's kind of where it really took off more so than anywhere else. There's as much as I dislike thrill rides, I've tried all of them except for three, really. Those two, and I've never done the Primeval World for whatever reason.
Oh, do the Primeval World.
I probably could. Well, just like, who cares?
It's fun.
Just like, yeah. All right, so what do you want to talk about specials, honey?
So Humble Bundle had The Witcher 3 on PC on sale, and I mean, I bought it like the day it came out on Xbox One, played it for an hour, but then it was like, oh yeah, I have two-month-old babies, and I just moved into a new house. I don't have time. Right. And then other stuff came out, and I just kind of never got to it. So I decided to get this PC copy because it was cheap, fired it up. Holy shit, you guys were right. This game's amazing.
Yeah, imagine, right?
Well, first of all, looks incredible. Yeah, it looks oh, really my good
on your computer.
Oh, my God. I'm like, jealous. Can Bethesda just buy this engine off of them and use it? Jeez. But yeah, like, I did, like, the fight against the Griffin, which is, like, the first big monster you go after. Man, was that exciting.
Oh, yeah. It's
so fun.
All those monster fights are great. And there's a lot of them, too.
I love how it's, like, okay, before the fight, because, like, you know when a fight's going to, like, a big one's going to happen.
Right.
Like, so you do your preparation. You research the creature. You see what potions you should drink, what oils you should put on your blade, what spells you should have ready. I'm like, this is so cool. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yeah. It's a fun game.
Yeah.
Part of me, I was like, oh, maybe I should like go back and play more of it. I'm like, no,
there you go. DLC's out.
You know how I feel about DLC.
It's gonna be the one.
What did you see? Like they're releasing the Mortal Kombat XL.
Yeah, but not on PC.
But like some of those DLC characters actually do sound pretty cool.
Xenomorph.
Yeah, from Alien.
Cool.
Well, this Triborg. You see the Triborg? It's just like, it's like Sektor, Cyrex, and Smoke together.
Oh, really?
And he has the moves of all of them. So that seems really cool to me.
Neat. Do you want to talk about Star Trek Timelines?
Yeah, so it's like the Star Trek mobile game. This, you know, it's a very much like a free-to-play, lots of free premium currency things, but I like it. It's fun. It's very,
just all of the Star Trek.
Yeah, it's a lot of Star Trek, and it is kind of like this gotta get them all thing with the characters where, you know, you go to your hope, when you buy, like, spins, basically, to see if you're gonna get items or characters or, like, ship schematics. If you get enough ship schematics, you unlock ships. Yeah, and it's fun. It's a good diversion. But
it's got me in the mood for like classic Trek now.
Yeah, it's like
I want to like watch TNG again.
Yeah, right.
Enterprise.
That's definitely what it's rooted in most is TNG, like Deep Space Nine era.
Well, because you have Q.
Well, yeah, kind of
like the main.
Yeah, it seems like that's
host of the thing.
Right, but yeah, that's like really where it's kind of super set in. But in which is my favorite era anyway. So
yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, that's super fun. But ugh.
Oh, I finished the Rise Against the Empire playset for Disney Infinity. That's the original trilogy one.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap, is the end of that game awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so after you finish all your missions on Endor, there's like three last things you do. First, it's a space battle where you're defending the medical frigate and Ackbar's ship from Star Destroyers and TIE Fighters. Amazing. Then you fight Darth Vader, which was a really cool boss fight. And then you do like the blow up the Death Star run, which was like the best interpretation of that scene right. I've yet seen in a video game. Like, it was amazing.
Huh.
It's so fun. Although, the guy they got to do Lando's voice should be arrested.
Wow.
It's bad and a little racist. But I mean, it is like... it's like
he should be arrested.
It's like a black guy with like kind of an ethnic sounding name. So like, I don't know, like... It's not like they like hired like Troy Baker to do it, but like he just sounds like he's like, "Oh, we're going to have to go and get that the Death Star." Like I'm like, "What are you doing? Like stop it!" Similarly, the guy who does the Emperor's voice, I was like, "Is that Ian McDiarmid?"
This is fun.
No, it's like some guy named Sam Witwer.
That voice is kind of that's almost like one of those like Schwarzenegger voices. Like a lot of people can kind of do it.
Yeah, this guy like did really, it to the point. I was like, "I think that's him."
Very good.
I put up a list of all the Disney Infinity voice actors that like compares them to the original actors. It's so weird to see at what times, like random times, they got the actual actors. Yeah, right. Actors.
Like they did get the original Lando for like Jedi Knight 2.
No, I mean just in Disney Infinity in general. Oh, just
Disney Infinity.
Like, because it's like Mandy Moore doing Rapunzel, but like not.
I can't think. Of like Tom Hanks doing.
No, it's his brother, Jim Hanks.
That's a weird career.
Yeah, that's what he does. He apparently does that a lot. And when they need vocal fill-in for Tom, they get Jim.
That's kind of funny.
So he made a career off his brother.
Yeah. Hey,
wow. But, like, they actually got Samuel L. Jackson and Nick Fury.
Weird. But not Mace Windu?
Well, no, because I think they're trying to stay consistent to the Clone Wars cartoon where he has a voice actor.
Fair enough.
This is interesting. Craig T. Nelson is the voice of Mr. Incredible. But sometimes, I don't know when, they needed fill-in. Who do you think was the fill-in voice for Mr. Incredible?
Patrick Warburton.
No.
What?
Sully. What's his real name? Like, Uncharted Sully.
Oh, I don't know, but that's kind of
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, I forgot it just yeah, now. But yeah, like, and you think, like, you're like, oh, I can see that.
Yeah, right? Huh, how about some money? I still, like, it's never really got super into Disney Infinity. So did you play any more of the Force Awakens playset?
Yeah, I finished it, but I found out if you gold star every mission, you unlock BB-8. So that's my next goal. I'm going to play through all his Kylo Ren now.
There you go. All right, then. I think that'll do it, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so, yeah. So, I probably won't be here next week. We might record a show, like, while I'm gone, but we'll
see. We have a game that's embargo that we can't talk about.
Which I would have a lot to say about, but we'll see.
But, you know, next week, you might witness a new show.
Yeah.
If we record one beforehand, so we'll release it later.
All right. So, yeah. So, but if we don't, we'll see you soonish. February. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at evpodcast.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to give us a review on iTunes. We always appreciate that. And we'll see you next time right here on the Explain Road Podcast.
Bye.